This is an ABC podcast.
The 2026 NRL Premiership.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Look, in a week that's had high emotion in rugby league, from the devastating news about Jai Arrow's MND diagnosis, the former Queensland State of Origin star, to the Origin teams being picked, and there was emotion with players being included and not included. But how could you not feel emotional whether you follow New South Wales or Queensland when you heard Billy Slater read out the name Tom Flegler to represent Queensland in the first Origin game coming up next Wednesday night? The Dolphins front rower is on the line. Tom, how are you going?
Good, thanks.
Mate, I've seen and read some of your stuff that you've had to say since that selection. You're playing it pretty close to your chest. That must have been a big moment for you, though, when you found out you were going to be picked.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't entirely sure whether I was going to get picked or not, but obviously, getting a phone call like that from Billy, it's definitely something pretty special. And I was over the moon when I got the call.
I mean, I'll have to ask you about your 2 years basically out of the game with that shoulder injury, but being named to play Origin, I think you've had 9 games back with the Dolphins this year. Does that almost completely turn the page for you that I'm not this player just working my way back from injury? I'm back. This is back. Be my career again.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, some of my first thoughts was after the injury was just to get back and play consistent first grade. But, like you touched on, now that I've sort of taken another step again, it's sort of changed things a bit more and put me back to where I wanted to be.
Remember, we worked with Connor Watson, who a couple of years ago had a whole year out with his ruptured patella tendon, and kind of to see that ride firsthand was eye-opening, and the highs and lows and the good moods, the bad news, the setbacks and all of that sort of thing. You've experienced that double through a two-year period. He ended up telling us how much he ended up enjoying many other things in life, at the same time battling confusion, disappointment, all of that. The roller coaster you went through for 2 years, was it dramatic, the highs and the lows?
Yeah, definitely. Like you touched on, playing a full-time sport or a professional sport, there's many hurdles and obstacles that we're sort of faced with. But, it was a challenging 2 years. You have your ups and your downs through all of it. But, the Dolphins throughout the whole thing sort of, were really supportive through it all and gave me a little bit of time off here and there, a few days here and there. And, I got to go back home and see my family, which, made the journey a little bit easier.
Yeah, you need someone. Who got you through those tough times, whether it was with a hug or a slap around the face?
I wouldn't say there was anyone individually, but, like I touched on, when you're in rehab, you spend most of your time with either the physios or the rehab crew the club. So just being around them for 2 years straight and, how we sort of approached it and the support they threw behind me was sort of what got me through it all.
Last year, Tom, second half of the year, we started to get updates on you and that it looked positive that you were going to come back. When, yeah, we're not too sure, but we were starting to get updates. What was that like living through it in real time, as in the progress you're making? When were you convinced that you'd be playing at the start of 2026?
Well, I was pretty convinced early on, in the early on stages of the injury. But, we had a lot of hurdles to get through before that actually came true. So deep down, I was always confident I was going to play at the beginning of this year. But in saying that, we had other things we had to get through first. But, I remain pretty optimistic throughout the whole situation.
One more about this, then we can move on to 2026. But what was one thing that you're grateful for, one thing that maybe in hindsight surprises you, that you're really grateful for during that 2 years that stood out?
Oh, that's a very good question. Probably just how resilient we can be as athletes. We touched on before, there's a lot of highs and lows, and just coming to training every day and getting to do what we do, you sort of look at that and go, well, there's a lot worse situations off than what I'm in, you know what I mean? It's really not that bad at the end of the day. We still get to go home healthy and and come to training every day and be around our mates.
So you get through the pre-season, you're raring to go. One thing, I mean, I'm a 57-year-old gibber, I just get to sit and call footy every week, which I love. I can't get my head around, Tom, the psychological hurdle. So you've been out for 2 years. Physically, you might feel great. That first game back, whether it was a trial game or first NRL game back, is that a difficult process to just think, I'm fit, I can get through this now?
I did do it, like you said, I had a whole pre-season to do my contact, so I'd done everything up until playing a game. So, yeah, don't get me wrong, I was very nervous, and there always is that sort of little bit of doubt in the back of your mind, but we ticked every box, everyone around the club, medical staff, myself, we were all really confident in what we'd done. So leading into that game, there's always that, you know, a little bit of unknown there, but we had no drama. We were fully confident in what we'd done.
Yeah, and then to come back, Dolphins struggled a little bit, but now, you know, playing great footy, I think the kind of footy that most of us expect. When was it in the opening 2 or 3 months of the season that you thought, all right, I'm playing good again. The Dolphins were on a bit of a roll and I'm starting to play as good as I know I can.
To be honest, probably not until a few games ago, to be honest. You know, we lost a few games early on and, you know, we started to find our feet and we've won a few games now. So we've got to try to keep that going.
So when it comes to Origin, the conversation with Billy Slater, it's not like you're a bolter. You've played Origin before. You've had a few games under your belt before this horrible injury. Is Billy in regular contact with you, or is it that one phone call to say, hey, you're in?
Yeah, just that one phone call to say you're in. It's a very nervous wait come Sunday night.
Yeah, I can imagine. So were your expectations high? I know publicly it'd be, let's just wait and see, but you must have been thinking, come on, I'm ready.
Yeah, obviously, everyone, you know, wouldn't say no if they got given the opportunity. And you know, when the time comes around, you're going to be ready. But at the time, I was not that confident I was going to make the team.
We're speaking to Queensland front rower Tom Flegler after his remarkable comeback from 2 years on the sideline with shoulder injury, both now with the Dolphins and with Queensland. How different are you expecting Origin to be, if at all, Tom, from when you last played? You know how quick the game is at NRL level. What can we expect on Wednesday night, do you think?
Yeah, well, obviously, given the speed of the game now compared to when I last played, it's a lot quicker. So I can only imagine State of Origin is going to be just that little bit quicker again. And, you know, obviously, the intensity of it, you know, all the hype around the game and obviously our feelings towards New South Wales just makes it that little bit more special and intense.
It'd be huge to get a win up in Sydney too, wouldn't it? That always is massive, being able to win away from home in Origin.
Well, 100%. Obviously, it's a big game for both teams, but going down there, game one, and playing them at their home ground to, you know, hopefully we can get the win, which would be massive.
There was a quote, I think it was from Billy Slater after he got picked, Tom, who said he was brought up on a banana farm. He's a tough lad, and we're going to need that toughness. Tell us what is life like on a banana farm?
Well, we didn't go there every day, but, you know, school holidays, we're out there all the time. And, you know, a little bit after school, it's just what you get used to growing up. That's all you know. So when you're out there, you're always sort of doing a job. You're never sitting still. So, yeah, we loved it.
All right. And finally, when it comes to Wednesday night, you and Tino Fasumalaawi up against Adam Fanua-Blake and Mitch Barnett, at least to start with. The phrase for as long as I've been around has been forwards win big matches, and maybe this will be no different. What do you guys have to do to shut down the Blues forward pack, or at least not let them get over the top of you?
I think the first thing we've got to do is worry about ourselves and what we bring to the game. And obviously, both teams are pretty very good. You know, they have the best players in the game playing in them, and New South Wales have a great team. But I think for us, we just got to focus on what we bring to the table, and you know, hopefully, we think that'll be enough to get the job done.
Can't wait, Tom! I'm so excited for you, and even New South Welshman. I think this might be very rare, but New South Welshman will be giving you a little cheer. Might only be a little one, and it may only be at the start on Wednesday night to really appreciate your return to State of Origin level. Good luck with it, Tom. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, 2 years out and back in Origin after 9 games, Tom Flegler. So, Louis, that'd be a big moment for him, wouldn't it? Spending so long on the touchline, wondering about your
your playing future and worrying about your own health for the remains of your life. And here you are back playing NRL and back playing Origin so soon.
Oh, absolutely. It's huge play. And full credit to him too, because he's obviously had to dig deep to get his footy right, to get his health right, make sure he's putting his best foot forward for his club team, and then gets an opportunity to put on that Queensland jersey. And we know how much it means to him. So that's a huge one there for Thomas Flegler. But I heard you say on there, we're all looking forward to you playing. Well,
I said New South Wales people will be giving you a little cheer. A little cheer.
No, I'm happy that he's back out in the field.
That's all I'm talking about.
Well, I don't really want him playing for Queensland, but anyway, it's it was good to listen to him. It was good to see that he's pumped, and like you said, it's great to see he's back in the rep arena.
Well, a lot of that discussion was about health, and there was a much bigger story about health and rugby league this week that was truly shocking, upsetting, and infuriating, and it involved 30-year-old South Sydney forward Jai Arrow, who himself has played 12 Origin games for Queensland. And Jai revealed that he's been diagnosed with motor neurone disease, which I think it's fair to say is unbeaten so far, motor neurone disease. There's no cure. It can take various forms. The average lifespan after diagnosis is 3 years. Now, some greatly exceed that. Neil Danaher, for example, flies the flag in the AFL realm. He's been dealing with it brilliantly, incredibly and bravely for 13 years now. But Jai Arrow had to announce his retirement. He was at pre-season training. He was hurting in his shoulder and neck, so contact training had to stop. It went to his arm, and then his speech was affected. And we heard in that interview we did with Danica Mason on Channel 9 on Thursday that his speech is greatly affected. And I don't know how you could watch that and not have tears running down your eyes. That was certainly my reaction, because he's an extremely well-spoken human, Jai Arrow. I don't pretend to know him other than the chats we've had here on this show, where he's always been a great guest, and calling him throughout his stellar career. But a 30-year-old in the prime of life to be diagnosed with motor neurone disease, this wretched, wretched, wretched disease to which there's no cure yet. He was saying that he'll try anything. Whatever trial is going, he'll be in. He's got a one-year-old daughter in Ayla, very young family. And, Louis, it's one of those things where words don't seem to do it justice. The tragedy of not just for Jai Arrow and his family, but all of those around the country and around the world who suffer from this insidious disease where there's no cure. And to find out you have it, his was a five-month process of constant tests. You don't get diagnosed until just about every other ailment and disease on the cards is ruled out. So finally, the medical community will come up with a diagnosis that you have motor neurone disease. I can't begin to imagine the horror that he and his family are going through.
Well, I was absolutely gobsmacked when I heard it. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. And knowing, I don't know Jai that well. I've known to say hello to, but people that do know him and what kind of person he is, I know that he doesn't want any sympathy from anyone. But it's hard not to have it for him, because it is just crazy to think that what he's going to be going through. The other part that kills me is that I've seen the video of him just standing there with his young daughter at 1 year old and thinking, how sad it is for her. And
yeah,
mate, it is just horrible. I don't know. I sort of was lost for words. I even felt like crying the other night when I watched that that story with Danica Mason and the way that he was speaking. And it was just mind-blowing to think that, 12 months ago he was running around as at full health and fitness.
He was South Player of the Year last year.
That's the part that really gets me. And it's like, you've got to appreciate the little things, right? Like, we all complain about something, but there's always someone else out there that's got it so much worse off. And I hope to God that, he does find something, and he is the first person to beat it. But I'd love to reach out to him and just go and have a coffee with him, because he's he seems like one of the most genuine human beings that's out there. But what he's going to be going through over the next however many months and years is just unthinkable.
His attitude at the moment is great. It's going to be a hell of a roller coaster. And John Gibbs has now made his way to the touchline. It does put things in perspective, Gibbsy, doesn't it? You hate to think it needs things like that. I know on our show Monday night, you and I were having a good barney about the responsibility of referees and good or bad for the game. Results of footy games, it doesn't really matter in the end, does it?
No, you shouldn't be sweating the small things. There's no doubt about that, Andrew. And watching Jai was heart-wrenching. It was devastating. And And as Louis said, you know, you want it to cry, and you just feel for him. And everyone who knows Jai Arrow knows what a good guy is. And he is so inspirational in the way that he handled himself the other night. And also, I must give credit also to the South Sydney. I think they handle it very well as well. Blake Solly and Wayne Bennett, treated it with tenderness, and that's what it needed. And he's going to need a lot of help. So that was just a start, and hopefully the league and the rugby league fraternity get behind Jai Arrow, and they do things in the upcoming months that can raise funds and give him support, and hopefully we can find a cure for MND. I've got to say, Jai Arrow, and one of the first things I said to Ralph, who was with me when we were interviewing players, sometimes you might struggle to get a player in a beaten side.
Yeah.
Jai Arrow will always front up. If you went and asked Jai, win or lose, no matter what's happened in the game, he was only too happy to accept and, and have a chat, even though he might have had a loss. But it is devastating. Words can't explain. I mean, I really don't know what you can say about it, but you had that interview with Tom Flegler, and, you know, to come back from brachial plexus and be playing State of Origin again after missing a whole year is incredible, but it just puts everything in perspective. As you said, Andrew, at the end of your interview then with Tom Flegler, now you've got a real story, a real human tragedy, Jai Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be described as anything but. And the first time, Gibbsy, I'd even heard of motor neurone disease was Scott Gale, the late great former Balmain North Western Suburbs halfback, who fought a brave fight. I'd never heard of it before then, and it seems to be not biased against anyone. So many athletes seem to get it.
I was going to say, because Rob Burrows was one as
Rob
well.
Rob Burrows, yeah.
And you had Carl Webb.
Carl Webb, yeah.
That just blows my mind.
But it gets tennis players. Brad Druitt was a top Aussie tennis player who was running the ATP for a long time. He had motor neurone disease and died because of it. And Neil Danaher, I know one of the interviews I heard him speak a few years ago, in fairness, was that athletes seem to cop a large percentage of motor neurone disease diagnoses, and no one knows why. No one seems to know really much about it at all. So, Jai, as Gibbsy said, there aren't words. All we can offer is our love and support, and if there's anything you need from anyone in the rugby league community, you know they'll be there for you and your family, mate. And hopefully whatever process you go through ends up being with an historically good result.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Friday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Good win for the Dolphins, John Gibbs, and they've started to hit a pretty rich run of form, haven't they, over the last, month?
Yeah, they lost a lot of players. They've got great representation, obviously, in State of Origin. But not only that, they lost Herbie Farmworth. Cody Nicarima was out. Brad Schneider. I mean, I've got to say, there were just, you know, echoing what Ricky Stewart said, there are some things happening that, you know, are confusing. But take that out of it, some of the defence from Canberra was ordinary.
Yeah.
Brad Schneider, fair dinkum, he looked like, Cliff Lyons and Laurie Daly all wrapped in one when he went through there and beat Blake. So it was just ridiculous. So, and Isaiah Katoa running to the line and putting great balls on, you know, he digs into the line, but, you know, no one was there to sort of hammer him. And you still got to be hammered. I'm talking about Walsh, you still got the ball, but he was under no pressure. But he is a class player, there's no doubt about that. But they did a really good job, and to win away from home like that is impressive.
And the Raiders, Louis, it's weird. I still have faith in them as a team, but they keep losing. And there's excuses for it or reasons for it due to some of the injuries they have. But they've got to start winning, especially at home.
Well, at the end of the day, that's what counts, right? You've got to play good enough football. You don't have to play the best football, but you've got to learn and find a way to win. So at the moment, they're not doing that. Last year, they played great, but they were finding ways to win in all different ways they played football. Sometimes they'd defend to a win, they would attack really well, they'd get into a bit of a dogfight, and they could find their way out of it. At the moment, they don't have that type of mentality. But again, I am with Gibbsy, I thought the set restarts last night were ridiculous. It was back to that game that we watched up in Magic Round. It was like, you know, 1,000 penalties and 20,000 restarts. So it's very hard to get any flow, but it worked for the Dolphins. But again, the one for me, Isaiah Katoa, that's he's the key for the Dolphins. If he continues to play well, I think they've got more chance of winning. And I like the way that he's starting to take the line on as well, playing flat and fast into the ad line. But on with Jonty. I think players are actually scared now to put pressure on the halfbacks and actually take them out because you don't know. Are you going to get a set restart? Are you going to get penalised? Like, they're protected species now, so I'm not really liking that side of it.
Canberra, by the way, has a very important home game in round 13, and that's on Sunday week against North Queensland because they are 4 points outside the top eight now. The minor premiers of a year ago sitting 12th on 10 competition points. And another what seemed to be an egregious mistake by the officials last night, this was from the bunker, not from the referee, was the penalty in Morgan Smithies being placed on report for apparently using his elbows. Well, he hasn't even been charged by the match review committee.
Wasn't it a forearm?
It was soft. Look, I mean, technically they can argue that one away because he did sort of, there was a little bit of pressure, but he was putting his arm around and that was after the ball had been dropped by the opposition.
That's right,
they were going to get the ball. It changes things. I mean,
that was on Ray Stone.
Some of the players have got to learn to be squeaky clean, though, Andrew. Quite
that's
frankly,
ridiculous, that's
that, it was a ridiculous penalty, but that's the way it's being adjudicated. And if you're going to give them a chance to, you know, ping you, they will. So when you get the ball, and we've seen Corey Horsbrough, for instance, you know, his discipline let him down, do silly things. And last year, to your point, Louis, they were winning all the close games.
Yeah, you're right.
All of the close games. Last year they were winning. Previous years, you know, they've been the faders, but they got great respect last year because when it was a close game, they were in 90%, you know, of the time winning those games. But some of the decisions, look, I don't blame the referees totally, but it's a different. If you had a stopwatch on it, it's just so subjective, Andrew. That's all. And giving away set restart on the first tackle is not reconciled with giving away one in the last tackle when you just busted your ring. You're too tight. In the big picture, and I'm not, you know, players have got to deal with it. In the big picture, I mean this, Louis, players will be burnt out earlier than you would have thought.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. The way that the speed of the game, the way the game's being played, I concur with everything you're saying.
The Dolphins, just on them, they're up to seventh now on 14 points and have a bye next week. That's huge, isn't it? Going to Canberra, middle of the season, just about getting a win and then getting the bye.
Well, it's good for me because I picked and we were a little smoky.
I'm sorry, did we get off you for a second? You did
too. And Gibbsy, me and Gibbsy. Yeah. So we're just knuckling here. We're getting high fives.
But the way
you
the
didn't
game,
tip them in the top eight, did you? Did you?
Top eight, yeah.
The way the game has evolved, though, Louis, they are so mobile. And when they get their players back, they're going to be in there with a big shake. You wouldn't want to be playing them because they are super dangerous.
And in a year where point scoring is everything, they have as much of a threat across the paddock as any other team.
Indeed.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.